560 The Quest, your Atlantic Catholic Radio, presents The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey. Now, here's Josh and Allison.
Good morning, Atlanta, Georgia, greater Atlanta, Georgia, and beyond worldwide. I am Josh Harris on The Morning Quest as we help you find joy in the journey, joined by Dave Savage and Allison DeLuo.
Good, listen to
DeLuo.
Good morning. You already had me laughing.
DeLuo, I don't know, yeah.
You probably said it the correct way. I just go DeLuo, but I think the correct pronunciation is DeLuo. So you did
DeLuo.
It just perfectly.
Yeah, the cool DeLuo in the studio here today. And I think she's got a prayer to bless us with.
I sure do. Let's start with the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you asking that you open our hearts to the work of your Holy Spirit. May we be receptive to your guidance and direction in all aspects of life. We pray that your Spirit will fill us with wisdom, understanding, and discernment, leading us in the path of righteousness. As your word says in James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We ask that you generously pour out your wisdom upon us so that your Holy Spirit would lead us into all truth, transforming our hearts and minds. May we remain open to the promptings of the Holy Spirit, trusting in your faithful guidance. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, and we pray that we would walk in the fullness of your Spirit's power and presence each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. You got to depend on the Holy Spirit, right?
You got to depend on the Holy Spirit.
And call on the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, and it's interesting where God leads us. I was sharing about this before the show. Last night I did a stand-up show at this new venue in Columbus, Georgia. It's kind of like a Pont City Market type thing, you know, cool, trendy little place with a bunch of different vendors and restaurants. And I walk in, and it's their first night trying this, and a dear friend of mine orchestrated, brother in Christ, he lives up there. And I walk in, and it's clear there's only going to be like 7 people at this event. And I'm thinking, well,
what a waste of time
this was. You know, sometimes we can get on a high horse. Oh, look at all these big things I've done and big crowds I've done. And I just got to say, it was like the best audience. It was so good. Aww. I feel like it was such a learning experience because so many things I've been, like, there were a couple things I was working on that really hit well and kind of, I feel like, even crystallized a direction that I might want to bring my comedy into more of. But also, I think I may have landed a much bigger fundraising gig out of it. So we'll see about that. But that's the bigger point is just a reminder that there's no small audience in God's plan.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
You know, he leaves 99 to get to one. I mean, think about the scriptures. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, I am there.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Yeah, and each person, I mean, it's Dave was saying before, what he multiplied 2 fish and 5 loaves to feed, you know, 3,000 people. And sometimes we might be in a season, we go, God, this isn't the influence I was expecting. I should be farther along, but perhaps he is planting a seed in that moment that you're going to be eternally grateful for.
Mm-hmm.
Down the road.
Well, and that's how he works. And it's bringing back memories of our interview we had with Walter Morawa at St. Michael's with the Returning Catholics group. A gentleman came in, and the meeting was supposed, or the gathering with those people was supposed to start at, I forgot exactly what time, but it was in the morning. Nobody was showing up. And I remember him in our interview saying, Lord, if you don't want me to be doing this, I understand. And then just a few minutes later, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes into it, a gentleman walked in who was actually, you know, in the military in the past. And it was such a divine experience with him. You know, he was able to talk to him and guide him. So, hello, even if we have one person there in your show, the way the Lord can work is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I got to hand out some prayer cards after. That was pretty cool, too. Were you about to say something, Dave?
No, I was just going to say it, and it's kind of like what we do here on The Quest.
Yeah.
You know, it. I mean, we've always said if we can just, for that one person who's listening. Yeah, exactly. No, but if we can touch one person, maybe bring them back to the faith or maybe bring them into the faith for the first time or whatever, if it's just one person, it's all worth it.
It really is, because think about the multi-generational impact that that one person is going to have, especially if they have a family or they're, I mean, in any kind of ministry, you're, as long as you pay it back, It's an eternal currency that will never go void. And think about this, too. This is not a prosperity gospel, but Matthew 25:23, his master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much."
Mm-hmm. Amen. Give him a little, and he just multiplies.
Absolutely.
Well, we have got a great show ahead of us today. We have Father Rivak from St. Clair Assisi in Ackworth, Georgia. He is going to be reflecting on today's gospel with us today. Also, Chuck Persner will be back, and he's going to be talking about St. Rita of Kasha. So that's a saint I know, amazing saint. Daniel West with the Archdiocese of Atlanta, a ministry with marriages, is going to be talking to us today about the Archdiocese Diamond and Golden Anniversary Mass taking place on February the 8th at 12 noon. And he's also going to be talking about the importance of marriage in our lives. And then coming up next, Betsy Orr, parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, and founder of Heritage in Sharon, Georgia, will be talking to us about the upcoming Feast of the Purification Mass at Heritage. So a lot of great stuff coming up.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
We are so delighted to have Betsy Orr back with us today. Again, parishioner at St. Joseph's in Washington, Georgia, and founder of Heritage in Sharon. And again, I am so excited that you are going to be talking to us about the Feast of the Purification Mass at Heritage. So welcome back, Betsy.
Thank you so much, Allison, Josh, and Dave. It's so great to be with y'all again. Thank you for the opportunity.
Oh, we are blessed. Because again, you know, before I met you, Betsy, I wasn't aware of the beautiful history of our Catholic faith here in Georgia. So you brought it alive to me, and I can't wait to learn more about this Mass and then more about our wonderful history. So Betsy, can you remind our audience about what Heritage is and where it is located?
Yes, Heritage is a destination about an hour and a half east of Atlanta, directly out I-20 between Lake Oconee and Augusta. And it's the site of the oldest Catholic settlement in the state of Georgia. So 230 years ago, settlers came and settled that area. And many people think Augusta or Savannah might be the locations of the oldest Catholic settlement in Georgia, but it is in fact in Sharon, Georgia. So our effort of revitalization and restoring the historic properties we've titled or we've branded as Heritage. And at Heritage, we have the oldest Catholic cemetery in Georgia. Mm-hmm. We have the historic Church of the Purification, whose Mass we'll be talking about in just a second. And then a newly built 200-acre place of retreat on the land where the first Catholics lived. So
wow.
It's really a pilgrimage site for the Catholic faithful in our state and in our region.
Wow.
Wow. And so tell us a little bit about the upcoming annual public Mass held on February 2nd at Heritage.
Yes. Thank you for this opportunity. So annually, we celebrate the Mass that's really named for the name of the church, or the church is named for this event, I should say. The name of the historic church is the Church of the Purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And the purification of the Blessed Virgin Mary is mentioned in Scripture. That feast day used to be called the Feast of the Purification. It's now called the Feast of the Presentation of the Lord. That's how most people would know it now. And it's always celebrated February 2nd because 40 days after Jesus's birth, Mary and Joseph make their way to the temple to present Jesus and consecrate him back to God. So the church is named for that event, but it's now known, you know, for a different name. We still call it the Feast of the Purification because of the church's name, just to avoid confusion.
Yeah.
But it's the same event that's described in Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. So annually, we hold a Mass at the historic church. We have room for about 140 people. And it's a wonderful celebration. This year, February 2nd actually falls on a Sunday. So the Mass will be held on Sunday. And then we have a lunch on the property, at the retreat property. So it's really a wonderful day of celebration. And it's our feast day, technically. So that's that's what we're doing on this upcoming February 2nd of 2025.
And again, how divine is it that it's falling on that Sunday? So being there, you know, at the cradle of our Catholic faith here in Georgia, on the actual feast day of the day at this historic place where many Catholics, you know, brought the faith here to Georgia.
I think so. And, you know, it's wonderful this year that it's on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. As you know, it moves. And often we're celebrating it on a weekday and not as many people can get there. So this year, with it being on a Sunday, it's a lot easier for people in the surrounding region to travel to us and come to the Mass and then come enjoy the property. And this year, Archbishop Hartmeyer will be the celebrant.
Nice.
Bishop Joel Consen will be there, and we'll just have a number of friends and staff members and guests who all love our mission. Mm-hmm. So it falling on a Sunday is a unique opportunity for a lot of people who might not be able to travel to Sharon during the week.
That's wonderful. And Betsy, I know, just like it's touched you and touched me, even just one trip up there can really, I think, I don't want to say the word resuscitate, but activate maybe your Catholic faith even more when you realize how deep the roots are. What are some of the testimonies or experiences you've seen from people who have gone to Sharon, experienced the wonderful Catholic history in firsthand, especially yourself?
You know, what I hear almost everyone say who takes the time to come up to me and say it when they're out here is that they feel the presence of the Holy Spirit, and they feel the presence of the ancestry, the souls that have been there for 230 years. And I do think there is almost a tangible presence of this 230-year ancestry of our faith, the people who settled the area, the people who prayed when no priests were available, the people who kept the faith going. There's something about this site in particular that gives people a tangible or palpable sense of the Holy Spirit. So I hear that a lot. We also hear a lot of stories of, I mean, I actually like that word resuscitation, but we hear a lot of stories of people who feel like they almost experience some healing when they come out there. And it may be just general spiritual healing. It might be like getting a spiritual booster shot by coming out there. But people who attend the Mass at the historic church, as well as those who visit our prayer spaces on the retreat property, often come to us and say, wow, that was a really special experience that I had. And a lot of these are captured in some of our Google reviews. And I've been trying to keep track of what I call impact statements of people who come up and say these things. But there really is something special about that site in particular, which is why we love encouraging people to come out to Sharon.
Yeah.
No, that is wonderful. Now, Betsy, how can people register or attend this beautiful Mass at Heritage?
It's very easy. They need to go to our website, Allison, which is HeritageGA, like the abbreviation for Georgia, heritagega.org. And they can click on events or retreats, and they will scroll down and see a list actually of everything that's happening out there. But this would be on February 2nd, called the Feast of the Purification Mass, and people can register. Now, there's no cost to attend the Mass, of course, but if people would like for us to get them lunch while they're out there, we'll be providing box lunches, and there's a nominal fee for that. So when people register, they can sign up for lunch, so we know how many box lunches to get, but it also gives us a sense of who is coming. Mm-hmm. So it's all right there on our website, and if there are any points of confusion, we have a phone number and an email that people can call if they need clarification.
Oh, that is so wonderful. And Betsy, I'm excited because we are going to be doing more segments with you on these next six Thursdays talking about our Catholic history here in Georgia. So we are looking forward to that, learning all about the history and all the details of it.
I am too. I'm so excited to be able to present this in short segments to people over the course of the next few months, hopefully to just educate people, but also inspire them to come and make a pilgrimage to Sharon. It's a wonderful destination.
And I think it's such a gift because when we think about church history, we often zoom out, but we never really, it's very rarely do we zoom in to kind of get this localized point of view for how deep our roots go show in the local Catholic community, as well as spotlighting, you know, these brave souls that brought the faith to Georgia.
I think so, too. You're right. We often focus on places far away or mm-hmm. places in other parts of the United States or abroad. And here we have this rich Catholic history that we owe these settlers such a debt of gratitude, don't we?
Yes,
for what
we do.
They
Amen.
Endured and what we're going to talk about over the next few sessions. So thank you for that perspective, Josh. I think that's exactly right.
Well, Betsy Orr, we are so grateful for your time and so grateful for the gifts you are giving our diocese. If people are interested in attending this wonderful Mass and checking out your amazing, amazing retreat center, it's so beautiful, go to heritagega.org, heritagega.org, and go worship with them February 2nd as well. It's going to be wonderful.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to the Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:18.
Father Revac, priest at St. Clair of Assisi in Acworth, Georgia, is with us again, reflecting on today's gospel reading. Welcome back, Father.
Thanks, guys. Good to be here. Today, we are reading from the Gospel of Mark, first chapter, 40 to 45. A leper came to him, that's Jesus, and kneeling down, begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand, touched the leper, and said to him, "I do will it, be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. Then he said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourselves to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in deserted places, and people kept coming to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
There you go.
When I see this, Father, what jumps out at me, if you wish, you can make me clean. And I truly feel like no matter what's happening in our lives, if we're going through trials, if we're sick, if it's God's holy will, he can make anything happen.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah. I mean, if he can heal leprosy, it's not a big thing for him to fix most of what we deal with in our lives. But the biggest thing for me in prayer, and I'm kind of coming to this understanding as a progressive thing for myself, a person who prays to try to change God is going to pray in vain. Prayer is meant to change us to be accommodating to God's will, mm-hmm. right? Which is why this leper said, to your point, if you will it, right? Mm-hmm. He's not saying, "Lord, make me clean. Lord, you know, may it be your will that you're..." He's just saying, "I would really like this. If it's your will, may it be done." And sort of there's no expectation or command or demand or ultimatum or willing or dealing. It's just, "Lord, I'm in pain. My fingers are falling off. I lost my nose yesterday. If you will it, all of this could be fixed." Think of that idea that everything in our life can be fixed. You know, I look back at my past and I see so much wreckage from sins and missteps. And you know, even when we don't sin, we can still just create wreckage in our lives and in other people's lives. And I'm just like, man, I can't wait until you clean up all this mess.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. I think, too, this something super cool here is this leopard's bold faith, mm-hmm. right? I mean, he's approaching Christ with this humility and confidence. If you wish, you can be made clean. And St. Augustine says, right, faith is to believe what you do not see. The reward of this faith is to see what you believe. Mm. And then similarly, I was talking to Father Luke from Holy Spirit Catholic Church, and he said something that really hit me. He said, you know, a lot of times when we pray, we think about what we're doing for God, but really prayer is all about what God's doing for us. Mm-hmm. And one, I forget that, but two, there's so many times where I think in my life had that radical faith and things just go smooth. Mm-hmm. And probably many more times where I am in doubt, you know, agitated, pushing against the grain, and God's will gets done, but it's a bumpier ride.
Mm-hmm. If I wake up in the morning and I have down to the, you know, a 15-minute increment, my whole day planned out, mm-hmm. there's no way, there's no hope for me to get from the beginning of that day to the end of that day without it's all sorts of anxiety and frustration because most of that's not going to happen. But if we wake up and say, Lord, I'm your servant, I'm here for you to command me. Mm-hmm. And then you start your day as an adventure that you don't have any expectation on. You get to the end of it and you're like, that was perfect day, you know? And the day could have ended exactly the same way that your overly prescribed day would have ended. Yeah. And you end with this gratitude for the Lord for just sort of seeing you through it, giving us this day our daily bread and seeing his kingdom come in your life and seeing, you know, the gift of forgiveness and healing because you did the same when opportunities presented themselves by God's providence in your day. And you're just like, man, that was great, you know, versus, man, I didn't get what I wanted today, even though I prayed about it, even though I said, Lord, make my will be done this day. You know, he didn't do it. And now I'm frustrated and I don't think God heard my prayers and he's not answering me and blah, 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 blah. And that is the same life lived, two radically different experiences of God's providence being done. To your point is that it's just rough. You guys both look at this leper as a good guy and good for you. You know, that probably shows that you've got good hearts. I think he's a bit of a scoundrel. And I'll tell you why. Jesus says, don't tell anybody about this. And what's his show of gratitude? Disobedience, right? Disobedience. Yeah. Come on, man. Really? You just got healed. And I say this because I've done the same thing. The Lord forgives me all the time. Like I go to confession and he raises my soul from the dead. And sometimes the first show of gratitude I do is to like to do something bad again. So I'm not excluding myself from this. But come on, man. You're going to first thing you do when you're healed is go gossip. Right. Mm-hmm. And that's what this is. This leper is gossiping. And we think to ourselves, oh, yeah, but he's not detracting. Well, there's a reason that there's a word for detraction, and it's different from the word for gossip. Gossip is a larger thing. And then we're not supposed to gossip. And that means don't say bad things about people. But sometimes if it's not your business, don't say good things either. You know, you might be kicking a hornet's nest and you don't even know it. Mm. So here's Jesus wanting to do this nice thing for this guy who expressed a great faith in who Jesus was.
Yes.
But reveals that he doesn't have a whole lot of natural virtue. You know, he's going to have to do a lot of work to get to where he needs to be. That obedience to the Lord is really what he wants, right? Obedience is probably the best way that we can show gratitude. And even Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest and offer what Moses prescribed. Beautiful thing here, too, is that he's working within the framework that he set up, even though it's the old covenant, and he came to abolish the old covenant and establish the new. And then we see him working within the framework of the new covenant, too, with the power he gives to priests and everything else. But off topic there. Back to gossip. I just think that this is a great expression of why gossip in general is not a good thing, and how we need to really make sure that we're not getting involved in business or making inconvenient other people's lives in order to tell everybody what we want to tell them, right? Mm-hmm. And that our greatest expression of gratitude to the Lord often is just obedience. If he does something great for us and he says, the only thing I want you to do is go home and, you know, have a bowl of cereal and you don't go home and you go to the steakhouse to have a big steak because you're like, Jesus did something great for me to celebrate. Well, that's not really being all that grateful, right?
Yeah.
That's a weird example, but
raise the stakes.
But now Jesus can't come into a town because this guy didn't do what he was asked to do.
And that's really, I mean, now that you're breaking this down, that is pretty eye-opening because the people's lives that could have been impacted. Now he can't go in there, right? Because everybody knows, so he has to kind of stay away. And when you were talking, Father, about how he didn't listen, it's so easy when things happen, you know, beautiful, divine things might happen to us and we get so excited. I'm one that gets excited and want to share. But now I think I probably need to just calmly ponder, Lord, is this something I need to be sharing with all? Is this something I need to...
Discerning that spirit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, Father, what is a quick takeaway that we can have to internalize this message and, you know, help it manifest in our lives a little bit better?
Two things. Just mentioned them already. When we want to show gratitude to the Lord, just ask him what his will is. Mm. I want to do your will to say thank you to you for everything you've done for me. And don't worry about what that is, even if it seems insignificant. And then the other thing is don't gossip. No cheese may. Cut it out.
Yeah. No, and I love that.
Amen, Father. Thank you so much.
Yep. Father Rivak, thank you so much for blessing us with this wonderful gospel reflection.
Glad to be here.
It's 8:27. I'm Allison DeLuhl. Big news from the FDA. Yesterday, they announced they're banning the artificial food coloring red number 3 after studies found it linked to cancer in animals. The dye has been banned in cosmetics since 1990, but it's still been used in foods like candies and drinks. FDA officials say they can't approve food additives that cause cancer, and studies show high levels of red number 3 cause cancers in lab rats. The Center for Science and the Public Interest is applauding the decision, calling it a long overdue step to protect kids since the dyes have been illegal in lipstick but not in candy. Red number 3 is already banned in places like Australia, Japan, and the European Union. Better late than never, right?
Right.
I've probably have eaten red number 3 in candy, so there you go.
Today.
Not today, not
okay,
today.
Okay, good.
And then from the Catholic Loop, the House bill to protect female athletes from being forced to compete against males and girls and women's sports passed Tuesday with two Democrats supporting the bill. Texas Representative Henry Cuellar and Vicente Gonzalez were the only Democrats to vote in favor. As Democrats, we should not be afraid to vote our district's values because we're afraid of Washington, says Gonzalez. Speaker of the House Mike Johnson, Republican from Louisiana, said, "This is a great day for women in America. Today, the House voted to uphold common sense. We voted to require all schools receiving federal funds to uphold the original meaning of Title IX and keep biological men out of women's sports."
Well, praise God.
As a mom of a girl in sports, that makes me very happy.
Mm-hmm. AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. Back to the Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
It's 8:33.
Chuck Purser's back with us, and he is here to talk about another saint of the day. Good morning, Chuck.
Good morning, Allison, and good morning, Josh.
So glad you're here. Chucky, what do we got on the dock?
I am so glad to be here today as well, because today it is National Fig Newton Day.
Oh.
Yeah, so you know, whether you love them or you hate them, you have to admit Fig Newtons have become a very popular cookie for over a century now.
Long time.
It's over a century old?
Yeah, believe it or not. And as such, they get their own day. Josh, if you make it for a century as a comedian, you'll get your own day.
You know, there's a comedian, speaking of which, you just a bit, he said, at what point did they just say, you know what? Anything we can cram in the fig, just go for it.
Yeah, it's pretty much what happened here, I think.
Raspberry, blueberry.
They have everything, right?
They do.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the time of they became popular in the 19th century, physicians began to promote an increase in biscuits and fruit in a diet as a remedy to digestive problems. Fig rolls became a popular food item as a result of this. And then in 1891... Charles Roser invented a machine to insert fig paste into dough, and it became a product of Nabisco's. The name was changed to Fig Newton, and they were named after the town in which they were invented, and that town is Newton, Massachusetts.
Oh, wow.
I can only imagine how many figs they have to go through to create that paste for so many cookies.
Well, do either of you eat these?
I mean,
it's been a while.
Yeah, years ago I used to eat Fig Newtons, but now I was talking to you guys. I like regular figs, more of the dried figs, but now I'm learning that. Okay. What are the ones?
Non-dry ones are going to be, like, the natural figs are going to be much healthier for you. I think more water content, mm-hmm. a lot of nutrients. The dried ones will be nutrient dense, but, again, I think more sugar, more calories per serving, that kind of thing.
A bad thing.
Catholic radio host / comedian / nutritionist.
I know. Yeah.
The man who wears many hats.
He holds me accountable.
Well, you know, this did get me wondering if whether or not there was a patron saint of fig trees or fig growers. You know, figs, of course, are mentioned in the Bible a few occasions. Mm-hmm. We know that Jesus spotted Bartholomew under the fig tree. In fact, we talked about that back on his feast day. That was before he called him to become an apostle. And we have that mysterious episode in Scripture where Jesus curses the fig tree.
True.
Because it doesn't bear fruit.
Yeah, that wouldn't that be interesting, cursing the fig tree because it doesn't bear Newtons? I like Jesus's response a lot better.
You think Jesus would like Fig Newtons? I picture him as being a guy who was pretty good on his diet.
There's so many scenes of him embracing the culture and mm-hmm. eating what was served, right?
Well, yeah, if you put him in front of him, I think he would eat him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point. And he enjoyed himself, you know. He had wine with his friends and mm-hmm. looked forward to dinners and things like that.
I think, you know, Brian Regan does that comedy bit. He said, I couldn't believe it. The serving size of Fig Newtons is too Newtons.
What's the calories?
He's like, I eat fig Newtons by the sleeve.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's going to mow down a whole
like
row.
He's like,
yeah.
I mow them down and it looks like a tree chipper. I have a bag to the side to get all the Newton trimmings. And
but, you know, all this got me to thinking there's got to be a patron saint of fig growers or fig trees. Well, unfortunately, there's not. But there is a saint who is synonymous with figs, and we'll tell that story in just a moment. But that saint is Saint Rita of Kasha.
Oh.
Who's quite a popular saint. We celebrate her on May 22nd. Mm-hmm. You know, like Elizabeth Ann Seton, who we talked about back on the 4th of January, Saint Rita was a wife, a mother, a widow, sadly, and then a member of a religious community. She's married at the age of 12 to an abusive husband.
Wow.
And had to endure the hardships that went along with this toxic marriage for 18 years. She sought to convert her husband along the way in the hopes that he would repent, all the while trying to raise her two sons in a way that sought to break this chain of abuse and violence that they saw right in their own household.
Yeah.
But tragedy would strike Rita and her very troubled family. Her husband was murdered by another feuding family, which was pretty commonplace back then. That's how they settled things, you know. And anyway, Rita, on the heels of this, felt compelled to serve God in a more meaningful way. She received the vocational tug and joined the Augustinian Order of Religious Sisters. But prior to joining the order, tragedy would strike her again. Her two sons, her two young sons who were in their late teens, died of natural causes. Mm. You know, a woman who's no stranger to grief or hardship. She was rebuffed at first due to her husband's reputation in the secular world, but it was an Augustine nun that ultimately would stand up and on her behalf, and she would ultimately become a nun in that order. She would be known to engage in extended periods of fasting and kneeling and other forms of abstinence and mortification as a means through which to achieve sanctification of her body and soul. Numerous miracles have been attributed to her intercession. She's often portrayed with a bleeding wound on her forehead, which is, as you're going to talk about in a moment, Allison, understood to indicate a partial stigmata.
Yeah, well, you know, there's a beautiful quote that she said, "Let me, my Jesus, share in thy suffering at least one of thy thorns." So hence, that explains it.
A very specific prayer that was answered in a very specific way.
Yes, absolutely.
Another thing that is particularly endearing is, when returning home, her husband, Paolo, was ambushed and killed by enemies. His enemies, right? But
yeah,
you're believed to believe, I think it was political animosity since he was involved in that world. The exact details of the murder are unclear, but it's believed to have been a brutal act of vengeance. It was expected in this time that family members would seek revenge. And Paolo's murder left Rita a widow with two sons who, if they were going to embrace the societal norms, would seek revenge for their father's death. And legend, tradition has it that Rita was terrified of the idea of her sons committing a mortal sin and prayed that God would take them, rather allowing them to commit an act like this that could, you know, put them in a state of mortal sin and stain their soul. So shortly after, both sons actually succumbed to illness, dying in a state of grace.
Yeah.
So according to tradition.
Well, she is the patron saint of impossible cases, difficult marriages, and parenthood.
And widows. And those who are heartbroken, heartbroken women, really, which I think is all-encompassing for some of those. And, you know, with regards to her connection to figs and roses, for that matter, in the last months of her life, when she was very ill, Rita received a visit from a relative. And when they were saying goodbye, the relative asked if Rita wanted anything from her home. And then Rita replied that she would like to have a rose and two figs from the garden.
Wow.
Now, it was the middle of winter, so this seemed like an otherwise impossible request, but when she arrived home, the relative was surprised to find a rose bush that was bare of leaves and covered with snow, but there was one magnificent rose on the bush and two figs on the fig tree. So she picked the rose and the fruit and brought them to St. Rita, and she passed away shortly thereafter. She's oftentimes depicted with roses and figs.
Yeah, well, another quote which explains all of this: there is nothing impossible to God.
Oh, yeah.
Just thinking, imagining there one rose and figs in the winter. I mean, God can do anything.
Oh, yeah.
If it's holy will, he'll do it.
So it's very interesting. So following her husband's death, she devoted herself to reconciling these two warring families. And through her prayers, humility, and clearly her holiness, peace was eventually restored. So it's just amazing to see how God's grace can magnify radical forgiveness in somebody's heart. I mean, this is nothing but the thumbprints of God's grace on this woman's soul.
One more quote. Most holy, sacred heart of Jesus, help me, help my heart to persevere in all that is holy.
Yep. And you know what helps a heart to persevere in holiness? Fig Newtons. St. Rita of Kasha.
Pray for us.
AM 1160, The Quest, your Atlanta Catholic radio. You're listening to The Morning Quest, finding joy in the journey with Josh and Allison.
And every now and then, Dave, too.
Dave in the house with some new exciting stuff to drop on
us.
Yeah.
It's 8:41 now, and I found this on, I just stumbled on it, worldhistory.org. It's interesting. It's an article called 50 Biblical Phrases, Idioms, and Metaphors. Mm. So these are things that maybe you say every day or you hear people say every day. We'll start with the first one, let there be light.
Yeah.
Which basically, you know, people will say that like when they discover something or they understand something or they're enlightened by something.
Mm-hmm.
It's also used to indicate let the facts become known.
Hmm.
And it is obviously from Genesis, and God said, let there be light, and there was light.
I thought that was from, you said Genesis, I thought you were...
General Electric?
Yeah, that's what you were about to say, General Electric.
Well, that too.
Well, sometimes, when it's dark and I turn the light on, let there be light, I do say that, so there you go.
There you go.
Thanks, electricity.
And then forbidden fruit is something that's greatly desired, but forbidden. And in this sense, it can have a negative result. So obviously that's from, and the Lord God commanded the man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.
Yeah. There's forbidden fruit all over the place, though, right? I mean, candy corn. What do you think about that? Oh, that's not a fruit, but still.
Well, no, but it doesn't have to
be
a fruit.
No,
yeah,
I know what you're talking about. But anything in life that is, you know, is kind of what we would say like a spiritual or personal contaminant, right? Something that's going to, you know, something you might want, but is going to keep you from being the best version of yourself. We're faced with that kind of stuff every day.
Absolutely. Fall from grace.
Mm.
So that's mostly, you might describe a high status individual who has fallen on hard times or is now subject to, well, just, you know, they've fallen from grace. And obviously that phrase comes from the story of disobedience of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, from Galatians.
Isn't it interesting how certain biblical phrases just become synonymous with pop culture?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times pop culture definitely wouldn't want to dive into the deeper root. I mean, how many times do we hear prodigal son?
Mm-hmm.
A good Samaritan.
Yeah.
These are phrases that have pretty much become infused in the societal vocabulary.
Doubting Thomas.
Yeah. Right. I heard a song where Lazarus was mentioned not too, you know, long ago, and it was very much just a pop song. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was definitely was not a Christian song, but here the line was like, Lazarus, we're coming back.
Wow.
I thought, wow, interesting. Here we go. I mean, so it's kind of cool when, you know, God's word, even if so subtly, sneaks into the public vernacular.
Absolutely. So I've got more of these. There's 50 of them total. So in the weeks to come, we'll revisit this.
Looking forward to it.
Hi, it's Teresa Tomeo. Coming up at 9 this morning on AM 1160 The Quest, I'm inviting you to join me for Catholic Connection. But right now, let's turn to The Morning Quest on your Atlanta Catholic radio station.
It is 8:47, and we are so happy to have Daniel West. Again, he is the lead for marriage and family life here in the Archdiocese of Atlanta, Office of Evangelization and Discipleship. And he is going to be talking to us about the upcoming Diamond and Golden Anniversary Mass taking place on February 8th. So welcome back, Daniel.
Thank you. Thank you, Allison. Thanks for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. We love having you on because marriage is important. And
indeed.
And this is a great event you all are having, the Diamond and Golden Anniversary Mass. So can you briefly talk about that with us?
Yes, it's an annual Mass. It was started by then Archbishop Gregory, Wilton Gregory. about 15 years ago, maybe 20 years ago. So it's annual. It used to be in October, and we moved it to February, so it falls within the week of National Marriage Week.
Nice.
Yes, that's a national movement that the church supports. It's to raise awareness to marriage, the importance of marriage. They have a website, and they kind of get all the activities and things going on in the nation to help promote marriage. So we wanted to be a part of that, you know, included in those events.
Well, this is
February.
This is an amazing event you're doing, and I'm looking here, and so there has been a statistical decline in people who make it to the 50-60 marriage anniversary mark. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, not to be a Danny Downer, but marriage rates have gone down and divorce rates have gone up. I see it across the board in my ministry. I've been here, and this will be my 12th year.
Wow.
That I'm in this position. And you know, when I started, there were maybe about 100 couples, 100 plus at this event. Now it's down to 70-ish.
Wow.
It's been a steady decline. Same thing with marriage prep. It was bursting at the seams 20 years ago. You know, we had to do two workshops a month, then one workshop a month. Then it's not bursting at the seams anymore. So there's just a steady decline in marriage and family life, for sure.
Wow. Well, all the more reason to celebrate people reaching these incredible milestones.
Yes. So it's important for couples to recognize it, celebrate it, families to support them, their children, their grandchildren, friends and neighbors. So it's at St. Bridget. The seating capacity is 1,000 there. And it typically is around 500-600 people that make it. There's room for more if people are on the fence about attending and know someone going. There's definitely room for you.
Yeah, and if you know friends or parents or parishioners, let them know about this, because I'm sure that there are many people that are not aware of it.
And even to just go and spectate and see as a source of inspiration people who have persevered over the years and have abided in a holy and happy marriage, sure, not without struggle, but at the same time proving that God's sacraments truly, and that sacrament of marriage truly can prevail.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, the Archbishop says the Mass. And then there is a reception afterwards. So for catering purposes, we do try to know how many people would come to that. And it is all paid for by the annual peel, so there's no charge involved. That's the only thing we try to keep an eye on what the numbers are.
Mm.
Yeah, so there is a registration on the Archdiocese website.
Wonderful. Well, we are talking with Daniel West. He is the lead for the marriage and family life at the Archdiocese Office of Evangelization and Discipleship. And, you know, Daniel, we're so grateful for these marriages that have made it this far, you know, but the stats show there are those that in the beginning of marriage, there are struggles and there are trials. And I know there are ways that we can work on that so we can ultimately make it to, you know, the golden anniversary or the diamond one. So what kind of workshops do you all have, or what do you all do with the Archdiocese to help promote marriage and to help those marriages?
Yes. Great question. Thank you for asking, because we have so many resources at the Archdiocese. Of course, the kind of bread and butter resource that we have is to help people prepare for marriage if they're engaged. That's kind of standard procedure that if you want to get married in the church, that you have to prepare. So we have two workshops a month and it's primarily designed for engaged couples, but I like to tell everyone, you know, you don't become an expert at marriage once you say I do.
Correct.
Right. Marriage, like all good things, take a lot of work. The better the thing, the more work it takes, mm-hmm. right? So in these workshops, we cover things that you need throughout your whole marriage. You need to learn to communicate your thoughts, feelings. You need to learn how to communicate in the heat of argument, mm-hmm. Charitably. Those are skills that you need to constantly work on. And so in our human nature, we tend to just, you know, check the box and go to the workshop before marriage and then kind of cruise on autopilot mm-hmm. in our marriages. But we really shouldn't do that. We should really focus on our marriages continually. And we have, you know, any couple can come to these workshops. I like to keep telling our clergy, especially, that these are marriage enrichments as opportunities as well. So we have those that are in person. We have a lot of online resources on our website, different programs that are available to people. There's been programs around for decades, like Marriage Encounter and Retrovi. Mm-hmm. These are workshops that are usually held 2 to 3 times a year that help couples in different situations. We have Catholic therapists that we recommend. If people ask us, I just recommended some yesterday to a person. So yeah, we have, the Archdiocese is a resource for helping your marriage in any way.
That is so wonderful. And Love Again as well. That's another workshop that you all have for those that are that were married, you know, divorced and have gone through the annulment process and actually are remarrying. Go through all those ins and outs of what you need to know when you're remarrying, because you're marrying into a new family and to a new experience.
Yes. So a lot of times there's blending of families, there's blending of traditions, how to handle the past. There's a lot to cover. So any couple that has this experience, and if maybe they're already married and maybe they missed out, maybe they just got a convalidation, and they would like to attend Love Again, please contact me. I'd love to put them in that workshop. And it's very, very economical. It's $195 for Love Again for 2 workshops, $160 for the regular one, not the Love Again, but if you're getting married for just the first time or using it as enrichment, the other 2 workshops.
And where can people go if they want to learn more?
If they want to learn more, the Archdiocese website, archatl.com, archatl.com. There's the easiest way is probably to hit the search button. You could hit marriage prep, Love Again, and just it'll bring you right to it.
Well, Daniel West with Marriage and Family, thank you so much again for sharing this wonderful information with us, and knowing that in our marriages they always need work, and we glorify God and ask him for strength through everything.
Amen. Thank you for having me, and God be praised, like you're saying.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for your service and keeping the family intact. We are grateful.
Thank you, Josh. God bless you.
Well, that was a very inspiring. I could have talked to that guy for a lot longer. I would have loved to know what he sees in really successful couples long term. I have a few guesses, but we'll save it for the next conversation. That was beautiful. And honest to God, by the way, this Saturday, if you've not seen that, or maybe you're a parent with teenage kids, you need to share that podcast. It is incredible. First off, the radio show is Saturday at 4, but then they have a podcast that is really gaining momentum. You can check it out anytime on your favorite platform. It's
and YouTube
really cool.
If you want to see it.
YouTube, too. They're really making moves on YouTube. Yeah. Mm-hmm. John Henry Spann, the entire Honest to God team for young adults, by young adults. Don't let that theme music fool you, even though it sounds like it's something out of the Rat Pack.
And, you know, it's great for people that are not adults as well to listen to. It's great information.
Yeah, and our very own Allison hosted an episode. It was wonderful.
And you're going to be on this Saturday.
I am. So tune in for that. We love you guys. We'll miss you, but we'll see you tomorrow. Glory be to the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Have a great day, and may you find joy in the journey.